Usually when we think about a military organization, there is this expectation of just absolute mechanical precision. You know, you picture a giant, complex clockwork machine.
Right, yeah. Every person is a gear, and every gear has a specific rank.
Exactly. And the whole thing runs on this rigid, unquestionable protocol.
Well, it is an environment where predictability and hierarchy are, historically tied to survival. I mean, we are totally conditioned to view military structures as these deeply linear top-down machines.
Where information only flows one way.
Right, and obedience is basically the only currency.
Yeah, you definitely don't expect the cogs in that machine to sit around talking about their feelings or like exploring your family history or focusing on emotional well-being.
No, definitely not. It's supposed to be clean and binary.
Right, intensely focused on the chain of command.
Yeah.
But the organization we are diving into today fundamentally rewired how a military force operates from the inside out.
And they did it so successfully that they genuinely shocked the corporate world.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive, everyone. This is episode 7 of our exploration into the RNZAF mentoring program.
And we've got a great one today.
We really do. If our previous discussion was all about how to develop mentors, today we are tackling the ultimate question: what kind of culture are those mentors actually helping to create?
And looking through today's stack of sources, which includes the RNZAF Mentoring Program Operational Handbook, their diversity and inclusion principles, and the annual reports, it reveals something so uniquely New Zealand.
But still globally relevant, right?
Absolutely globally relevant. The core theme today is that mentoring here is not just some professional development tool. It's a real vehicle for belonging, identity, trust, and deep cultural understanding.
And we have to give you the hook right away because the RNZAF actually became the first military organization in the world to achieve the prestigious EMCC Gold accreditation for mentoring.
Right, the European Mentoring and Coaching Council. Getting that gold standard isn't just about having a few decent coaches on staff.
No, it's rigorous.
Very. It requires audited proof that mentoring is systemically embedded into the culture. But the fascinating part is how they achieved it.
Yeah, they didn't just import some rigid corporate framework from Silicon Valley, did they?
Nope. They achieved it by leaning heavily into indigenous cultural philosophy to build a cohesive, resilient force.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because when we think of military culture, we immediately think of strict ranks, saluting superiors, following orders.
Right, very traditional.
But the sources show this mentoring culture is anchored in a completely different paradigm. It's based on the indigenous Maori worldview. And they haven't just like put these ideas on a motivational poster.
No, they have totally operationalized them. To understand the mechanics of this, we need to translate a few foundational indigenous concepts into plain English because, well, these are the load-bearing pillars of the entire program.
Okay, let's hear them.
There are three main ideas. First is the concept of relationships and connection. It's the core belief that the shared experience between people is just paramount.
Paramount to everything else.
Yeah. Second is unity and collective purpose. Basically, the idea that true strength is only ever found collectively, never as isolated individuals.
Wow. Okay. And the third.
The third is the metaphor of the canoe. The philosophy is that we are all in this together.
So, meaning the mentor and the mentee are sitting in the same boat, navigating the exact same waters on a shared journey.
Yes, exactly. The mentor isn't, standing safely on the shoreline with a megaphone shouting instructions at you.
Right.
They are in the boat, rowing alongside you, experiencing the exact same currents and weather.
Now, I have to push back a little bit here. I mean, it is easy for an organization to slap a metaphor like we're all in the same boat onto a PowerPoint slide. How is this actually a practical leadership concept rather than just a symbolic slogan?
That is the exact friction point a lot of traditionalists bring up, but the sources show it is highly operational. Building rapport is treated as a critical, completely unrushed phase of the mentoring relationship.
So they literally force people to slow down.
They do. It changes the dynamic from a senior officer just dispensing tactical advice to two individuals actively sharing stories and building genuine mutual respect.
So by taking the time to realize they are in the same canoe first, they're building a totally different kind of authority.
They're building trust. So when a base alarm sounds and an order needs to be followed, a junior officer isn't just following it because of the rank on the commander's shoulder.
They're following it because they trust the person.
Exactly. The obedience is faster and more resilient because it's rooted in connection, not just blind compliance.
That makes the transition to our next point so clear, because that mutual respect in the canoe is actually legally and culturally enforced.
Yes, it connects directly to New Zealand's founding document, the Treaty of Waitangi.
Right. The RNZAAF has taken the bicultural framework of that treaty and mapped its three core principles directly onto how mentors and mentees interact. Partnership, participation, and protection.
So partnership requires the mentor to recognize that the mentee has just as much insight to offer them. Both parties bring value.
It dismantles that traditional top-down lecture.
Exactly. Then participation ensures equitable engagement. The junior person is fully expected to drive the conversation.
And protection.
Protection is where the real structural shift happens. It means safeguarding the mentee's developmental needs.
Wait. Reading through the handbook, there is a specific mechanism for that growth that just stopped me in my tracks.
The family history aspect.
Yes. Mentors are actively instructed to help individuals connect with their family history and their cultural heritage.
It's incredible.
They literally sit down and explore the mentee's ancestry to understand how it shapes their future.
It completely flips standard professional development on its head.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Why would a military mentor in a high-stakes, technology-driven environment care about someone's family history?
It sounds counterintuitive.
Right. Like, if I am learning how to manage complex logistics for a helicopter squadron, how does exploring my great-grandparents' ancestry help me do my job better?
Well, to understand that, we have to look at their model of leadership. In this model, leadership is relational before technical.
Relational before technical. I like that.
By bringing their whole selves to the table, and that includes their cultural identity personnel, develop a much stronger sense of self-awareness.
So, meaning you have to understand yourself before you can understand a supply chain issue.
Think about the mindset shift. Let's say you are a junior logistics officer, and you are just completely overwhelmed by a crisis.
Okay, I'm stressed. Things are falling apart.
Right. But if your mentor has helped you explore your cultural heritage, and you understand that your ancestors navigated across vast, uncharted oceans using only the stars and ocean currents,
oh, wow.
You internalize a profound legacy of problem solving. When people understand their own story, they make more confident, grounded leaders.
It anchors them. It gives them a historical weight that makes them more resilient in the present moment.
Exactly. You can teach anyone the technical software to manage logistics. But you cannot teach that grounded resilience without deep self-knowledge.
Which brings us to a massive challenge. If you are encouraging people to bring their whole diverse selves to work, you absolutely have to create an environment where it is actually safe to do so.
Because you're asking them to make themselves incredibly vulnerable.
Right. Think about this for a second as a listener. If you admitted you were completely out of your depth on a project, would you trust your boss not to use that against you when promotion season rolls around?
That underlying fear is what the RNZAS is trying to eliminate.
Mm-hmm.
And true inclusion isn't just about representation on a slide deck. It's about removing barriers and creating genuinely safe spaces.
And the data from the sources is wild. The RNZAAF overall is roughly 22% female and 78% male, but the mentoring program boasts 35% female participation.
That is a massive jump.
Furthermore, 10% of the participants are non-European or non-Caucasian.
Underrepresented groups flock to it because they achieve psychological safety through this ironclad code of ethics regarding confidentiality.
The rules are severe.
Very. The mentoring relationship is a protected space. Breaches are only allowed under extreme ethical violations or if agreed upon by both parties to get outside help.
I compare this mentoring space to an organizational vault. You walk in, you check your military rank at the door, and people from totally different cultures, genders, and generations can speak with absolute honesty without fear of career repercussions.
What's fascinating here is that this level of psychological safety actively breaks down silos across the organization.
Oh, because they're mixing ranks and departments.
Exactly. It builds vital bridges between different ranks and trades that would normally never interact.
So a junior avionics technician could be matched with a senior logistics commander?
Right, and they get this unvarnished, honest feedback loop going. It's incredibly powerful for the culture.
But let me play devil's advocate for a minute. Let's imagine a traditionalist listening to this. They hear words like belonging, safe spaces, and inclusion.
I know where you're going with this.
To them, this might sound entirely too soft for a combat-ready military force. They might say, we are building a lethal military, not hosting a therapy retreat.
the sources explicitly, emphatically correct this misconception. Belonging is not soft. Belonging is a hard performance enabler.
A hard performance enabler.
Yes. When personnel feel valued and deeply connected to their organization, morale goes up, turnover drops, and resilience skyrockets.
It saves millions in retaining specialized personnel.
Exactly. And the sources explicitly state that people do not grow strong in comfort. Mentoring is actually about challenging people.
It's about pushing them.
But you can only push someone to their absolute breaking point if you're doing so from a foundation of absolute trust.
And we see that high performance enabler extending even beyond the military. The program has expanded into civilian partnerships.
Yeah, that external network is brilliant.
They partner with major companies like KPMG and Tonkin and Taylor. This helps service members transition to civilian life, but it also brings fresh cross-sector perspectives back into the military.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is exactly what culturally intelligent mentoring looks like in practice.
It prevents the Air Force from becoming an echo chamber.
Totally. And it's why the RNZAF's model has gained so much international recognition. It acts as a literal blueprint for other global military organizations and, frankly, any corporation facing a diverse 21st century workforce.
So what does this all mean? If we distill everything from today's sources for you, the listener, the RNZAF mentoring program proves a massive point.
What's the takeaway?
The best way to scale a high-performing, globally recognized organization is by deeply investing in the human, cultural, and relational elements of its people. We truly are all in this together.
I'd like to leave you with a final challenge to ponder on your own. Consider your own workplace. We've just explored how a highly structured, hierarchical military force makes space for deeply relational, culturally rooted mentoring to drive their performance.
They literally break down silos to prioritize belonging.
Right. So if an Air Force can prioritize belonging as a strategic imperative, what is stopping your organization from doing the exact same thing?
That is the perfect question to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Take that challenge into your next team meeting, and we will catch you next time.